Some people ask me why I'm so happy, even when sorrows press on. They see me laughing while the storm's raging. They wonder where I get my song. But they cannot see the trouble I faced not so very long ago. Well, to comprehend this joy that's within, there's something they need to know. Well, I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from a desert dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Well, I used to feel trouble. My sorrows were double as the burdens of life held me down. I was defeated till I saw what I needed, then His tender mercy I found. And though life is rough, I'm not giving up. Even when I'm tested and I'm tried, I'll not waste time down, and I'm gonna go on shouting. I've crossed to the winning side. Well, I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from a desert dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Well, I have been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from a desert dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again.
To the book of Galatians. To the book of Galatians. We'll start with chapter 6 and verse 14. And then we shall turn to the book of 1 Corinthians to chapter 2. I want to preach this morning on very important, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross. God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross. Let me read to you the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That's probably one of the golden texts of all that Paul wrote to us and wrote for us, wrote by the Holy Ghost. And he was a man that had came from such a background that to say these words was just powerfully meaningful. But God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. For henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. But that text, first verse, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 2, don't mean to read too much, but you need to hear a few of these verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now you understand that Apostle Paul could speak four languages fluently. He was as educated of a person as probably even lived or existed in that day. But yet he could say, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech. I'm not trying to prove to you my wisdom of words. He said, of human wisdom. I'm not here to tell you and show you I'm smart. He said, none of that. But I'm determined to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Doesn't sound like the great Apostle Paul that I think of as I study. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and in the power of God. Shall we pray? Father, as I seek to preach thy word this morning, this message has been so heavy on me. And if I may be under thine anointing, I trust you will help me not only to bring my own self to a closer surrender before you, a more devoted lifestyle of glory and in the cross, but grant that I shall have every person in this congregation this morning, every one of them, to leave here determined to so live that Jesus would be glorified in all their conduct, in all their words, in all their life, that everything about them would bring glory to you, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name I pray, and amen. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. I love to preach about the cross. I love to preach about the death of Jesus Christ. I love to preach about what it has done for me and you and all of us and every man or woman on our earth if they would obey. And Apostle Paul came to this place after being so wonderfully converted that he could say with all of his heart, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. The word glory. The word glory. I love to preach on words. It's always a joy to study words in the Bible, because when you understand words, you often get deeper meaning than you can even imagine. And the word glory is one of those wonderful words of the Bible. God forbid that I should glory. What do we mean? What do we mean when we say something we glory in? Something we glory in. You see, you always exalt that thing which you love the most. You always exalt that truth which has been the greater for your heart, or that thing that has happened to you that brought you great joy. Well, Paul said, my glory is in the cross. My glory is in the cross. Because of all the things that this learned man had come to know, the cross exceeded them all. The cross was greater than any moment of wisdom he had ever thought of. Any words that he'd ever heard. The cross was the greatest of all of them all. You see, something a man glories in, something a man loves with all his heart, he will glory in it. Something a woman loves with all her heart, she will glory in. Something that you really, really have great respect for, you will glory in. You often hear me glory in my wife because she is the joy of my heart. She is a faithful companion. Our love has been so satisfying for better than 60 years. And so I glory in her. I hope she glories in me. In fact, I know she does. She may not would say it, lest I got prideful, but I think she does. You know, we glory in that which we love the most. We glory in that which means the most to us. We glory in that which has made such an impact upon our life. Now, when you claim his glory, when you claim the beauty of what he has wrought for you, when you claim the beauty of what happened to you as a sinner and you came to Christ, you came to know his love and his grace, it's just something so breathtaking about the cross. Hallelujah. I think what is missing in the church world today is glory in the cross. Even we that preach prophecy can very easily become more excited and more enamored by the prophetic preaching that we utter and the things that we see that make up our future. And if we don't be careful, we glory in the rapture. And we glory in the millennial reign. And we glory in the great New Jerusalem. And we glory in all of those wonderful things of the scripture. But it's easy to remember we have to go back to the very source of all of this. We have to go back to the very hope of all of this. We have to go back to what all of this means. And the glorying in the cross. The glorying in the cross. Why have churches in the past normally had a cross somewhere in their building? Somewhere on the facility. Somewhere on the facility, a cross. Out in Alabama, a week before last, we passed a new church. And they had built a beautiful, beautiful campus. It looked like acres of land and probably several $1 million of building. But I didn't pay any attention to the buildings. I didn't even pay any attention to the size of the campus. But there was a 100-foot cross. Well, maybe I should say 50. 50 to 100 foot cross on the front lawn right beside the sound. The sign, it towered high in the sky. And I thought, that's so beautiful. I loved the picture of that cross. I'm here to tell you, the cross is the center of everything we represent. The cross is the center of every hope we have. The cross is the center of whatever the future might contain. Without the cross, none of it could exist. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Now, you may say, why did Apostle Paul come to such a place? Remember now, he was the arch enemy of the Jesus movement. He was the arch enemy of the Nazarene cult, as they would have called it. He was the arch enemy of everything that early church represented. Following the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he set himself with all the energy he possessed to stamp out this whole Nazarene cult, as they would call it. And now he's exalting the cross. He's raising it high. What happened to him? What changed this man to be one who gloried in the cross? I'm going to tell you the first thing that changed him. He was mentally and emotionally bound in a false theology. And when he came to know the truth, he was so excited of that truth that he gloried in it. That he put all his hope in it. He put all his confidence in it. I think when you understand where you came from, as a sinner. And you understand how your mind was bound by the lifestyle of sinning. And you understand how you were caught up in the things that controlled you and were ruining your life. And you suddenly come to Christ. And you come to the cross. And you come to see the hope of Jesus. And he saves you. How could you glory in anything beside the cross? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I glory in the cross this morning. I was a horrible little kid. I was a mean little rascal, if you want me to tell you the truth. And my life was on a downward trend. I would have been dead and in hell a long time ago. But Jesus came and found me. I wasn't looking for him, but he was looking for me. I want to tell you something. Every one of you sitting out there, it wasn't you that found him. It was him that found you. Do you understand that? It wasn't you that set your heart. I got to discover Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit that set the heart of God and sought after you and found you and brought you to the way of truth. You are the glory in the cross, church. You're the glory in the cross. Nothing should ever fill your mind like the hope of the cross. You realize, were it not for the cross, you'd be on your way to hell this morning. You understand that? You understand you were lost. You understand that your sins had possessed you and taken hold of you. And though you may have been morally good, you were still a sinner, lost and hell bound. But the Christ of Calvary, the Christ of the cross, the Savior, the Redeemer, the mighty Lord, came in his wondrous grace and found you. Hallelujah. Identified you. Took hold of your heart. Took hold of your mind. Took hold of your emotions, and before you knew it, you were seeking him because he was drawing you from the old life to the new life. Hallelujah. I glory in the cross. Apostle Paul gloried in the cross because he was lost and hell bound. He was fighting against the Son of God. Can you imagine? Put yourself now in the place where Apostle Paul had been. Put yourself under those dark doctrines that denied the Christ of Calvary. Put yourself under the theology that rejected all that the crucifixion of Jesus represented. Put yourself under those powers. And then for a moment, consider escaping all of that. And coming to know him, the Christ of Calvary. Hallelujah. Coming to know him, the Savior. You glory in the cross. I really believe if there's anything every Christian in this building needs this morning. And yes, if you're unsaved, you need it even more. And that is, you need to understand what the cross means to your faith. What the cross means to your life. What the cross means to your victory. What the cross means to your overcoming the powers of Satan and the darkness of this world. Hallelujah. I glory in the cross this morning. How many of you would slip up a hand and just glory in him a moment? Just glory in what he did for you. Just glory in how he saved you and changed you. Glory in how he helped you escape the penalties of sin and the darkness of a world. And glory in him. Don't ever quit glorying in him. I was here praying yesterday evening. And as I sit there where Brother Marlin is sitting and praise the Lord, I suddenly begin to glory in the cross. And for a while, I just gloried and honored and loved and meditated and sung and thought about the cross. And the longer I continued to do that, the greater rose up the joy and excitement in my heart. Hallelujah. Because it is such a joy to live beneath the cross. I desire nothing else. You say, but you're so old. How could you? I don't know, but I know a lot of old folks that live for the world and live for everything of pleasure. They go here and there. I see it all the time. It's like the world has more to offer than anything else. I'm here to tell you, it's Jesus that I glory in this morning. It's Jesus that I'm excited about this morning. It's Jesus that I love this very morning. Hallelujah. He's everything to me. You see, Apostle Paul was fighting against all of this. He was determined to destroy all of this. But suddenly, Jesus revealed himself to him, and he was utterly changed. Can you, let's take a moment. Let's go up the highway toward Damascus. Let's follow Apostle Paul as he goes to this city where they have apparently heard that a revival is in progress. A revival is going on. There are Jews that are beginning to receive this Jesus in the synagogues of Damascus. And Apostle Paul, well, then he was Saul of Tarsus, had gone to the high priest and said, would you send me up there? And I'll go and I'll clean up what's going on. I'll straighten out what's happening. I'll go in and we'll put this Nazarene cult out of business. We'll bring everybody representing that cult back to Jerusalem and put them in prison. No, it was a real trial. It was a real trial coming for the people in Damascus. But on the way to Damascus, the lights of heaven fell upon Saul of Tarsus. And suddenly he saw a light like the light of a noonday sun. He says later, I saw him as one born out of due time. I would presume it was in this vision that he saw the one who was born out of due time. And he fell on his face on the ground, blinded. And he's crying out, who is this? Who is this calling on me? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Saul of Tarsus had no answer except, what would thou have me to do? Why are you coming to me like this? And this man was utterly converted. Utterly converted. Into the city he went. I was thinking last evening, the people that were with him, they were from the high priest's office. They were rabbis, Sadducees or Pharisees probably. And they were marching with Paul for this business of putting out this Nazarene cult in the city of Damascus. And when suddenly Paul is on his face and suddenly now blinded, they take him into the city. And I'm sure they waited the 2 or 3 days while he was blind, hoping he'd come to his senses and they'd continue on with their purpose. But when Saul came to his senses, he'd received his sight filled with the Holy Ghost and immediately went into the synagogue and began to talk about Jesus. Can you imagine those representatives of the high priest hurrying back to Jerusalem to try their best to figure out, what are we going to do? Our chief leader, the man who's in charge with the whole business of closing down this cult, he's on the other side. He's joined the enemy. Can you imagine what they must have felt and thought? But I'm here to tell you, it was too late for anything like that. The Saul of Tarsus had become the Apostle Paul. In a moment of time, hallelujah, they didn't call him that yet, but that's what he'd become, and he was ready for the business of the king. Hallelujah. No wonder he gloried in the cross. I remember when I was saved, and do I glory in that cross this morning? I am grateful. I don't know about you, but I was lost. I was also a friend of the Christ haters. I moved among the people who cursed and swore and used all kinds of language. I was a little thief myself, but Jesus came along and turned my life around. And this morning, I'm born again. I'm his servant. I belong to the Christ. Hallelujah. There is nothing like glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you glorying in the cross this morning? Do you have reason to praise him and love him and adore him and to never turn his cross? I will gladly bear. Hallelujah. The shame and reproach. We live in the day that Jesus is being shamed. It's probably never in the history of humankind. Oh, we know in places of the world now, they're crucifying Christians. We know that much damage is coming by way of the wicked world against people who believe in the Christ of Calvary. But I'm here to tell you, it will never cause me to turn from the glory of the cross. I don't have a message to preach that isn't centered in the cross of Calvary. The death of my Savior, the death of my Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had come to the place. Apostle Paul now had come to the place that he could come to the whole world, Jew and Gentile, and tell them something that would change their life and make them all over again. He had a message now that was sufficient to reach the darkest sinner and the darkest life. The woman on the street who had given herself to a life of fornication could now be brought into the house of God and made a godly woman to lead her family in the fear of the Lord. I can think of nothing more wonderful than when we see a sinner deep in sin, when we see a man or woman, regardless of how far from God they have drifted, how deep in sin they've gone. I can think of nothing greater than saying to them, but there's hope for you. There's a Savior who took your place on Calvary's tree, and you don't have to continue in that path of sin and degradation and darkness. You can know the light of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is your message, church. This is your message, church. You should never meet a sinner that you don't try to tell him about the Savior, the wonderful Christ, the cross of Calvary, the saving blood. Raise your hand and love on him. Thank you, Father, for the message of the cross. Thank you for the message of the Savior. Thank you for the message that is beyond all messages. Hallelujah, that Jesus died for sinners. Paul said, of whom I was chief. Many of us can think in our own life of whom we were chief. Hallelujah, but you saved us. Let me tell you, if you'll always remember, you didn't save yourself. You didn't change your life by your bootstrings. You didn't pick yourself up out of darkness by some strength of your person. Oh, but it was him who changed you. How many know it was Jesus who saved you? How many know you would have been lost forever had it not been for his death on that cross? Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Apostle Paul preached this Jesus. I'm going to tell you, hallelujah. He was the lily of the valley to Paul and the bright and morning star. He was the rose of Sharon. I don't know all the names that Paul used. I got excited this morning just thinking about just discovering and having me a list of every name that Apostle Paul ever called the Son of God. And it is thrilling just to think about it. Oh, there's such a marvelous, marvelous number of wonderful titles that men have given to him in writing this holy book. And he's above all of them. Every name is little compared to the greatness of his person. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. What a Master. What a Lord. Hallelujah. He is the altogether lovely one. He is coming back for us. Apostle Paul talked to that often. He's coming back for us. He's coming back for us. How many know he's really coming back for us? He really is. Hallelujah. You know, it was Apostle Paul, and this thrilled me to think of this. This man who had lived so far from God and had fought so hard against the faith of Christ. This is the man who spoke of the rapture as the blessed hope. Hallelujah. The blessed hope. Say those words, they're grand words. The blessed hope. Oh, the blessed hope. The blessed hope. Now, when you begin to study the life of this Christ of Calvary, and you begin to understand the sacrifice he made for you, let me take you on a little journey. Let me see if I can show you how great the person of Christ really is. Will you listen? Will you really try your best to walk with me for a moment? And let's start in the heavens of the heavens. Let's go to the temple where God himself sits upon the throne. We're going back now. We're going back now before the crucifixion and before the resurrection and before the immaculate birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We're going back to heaven, where he was before he came. And you know, I just got to thinking of this in the middle of the night. And I thought of him having to go up before the Father and say, Father, I'm going down. You sent me. You gave me the directive. You even made it as though it was my choice, and indeed it is. But I'm going to die on a cross. But I can't take this glory with me. I can't go in all the majesty of the heavens. I can't go where they look upon me and see me as the eternal Son of God. I've got to go as a servant. And so the Bible says he laid aside the expression of that glory. Not the glory, the expression of that glory. He laid aside his divinity, not his divinity as a person, but as the expression of his divinity. So that those who he would appear to and come to would not see all of that. And he put it in the care of the Father, because it was who he was. And the Father, of course, took care of it. And Jesus then was born of a baby in a manger. Born as a baby in a manger. Immediately when the choice was made, he was as an unborn child in the womb of Mary. And now the great Son of God is coming to live among men and to walk in our midst. And the Bible tells the picture and shows it to us in beautiful terms, how he lived 33 years with his eyes knowing that the cross was down the road. He never doubted that he was going to die on a Calvary tree. He never doubted that he was going to be crucified. And he was faithful to the moment. And when the moment came, hallelujah, he was ready to become our sacrifice. Hallelujah. I haven't described this well. It's really kind of over my head. But when you begin to understand how he had to give himself as he did to become our Savior, he had to die as a member of the human family. Oh yes, divine blood. Divine blood never knew sin, but divine blood, hallelujah. And that's what saved us, was that divine blood that flowed from his body, hallelujah, like a stream of love, bleeding and dying to save you and me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God forbid that I should have a glory save in that cross. God forbid that I should have a glory save in that place where that blessed Son of God made the ultimate sacrifice. God forbid that I should ever die, ever doubt, or ever move, or ever one moment for a moment even think of doing aught but glory in that wonderful cross. Hallelujah. He took my place on that tree. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me, church. We are one blessed people to know that he died for us, and that we are his because of that shed blood and that sacrifice, and because of that we glory in the cross. We glory in the cross. We don't glory in the things that we have accomplished. We don't glory in the good ability to sing. We don't glory in the great ability to be used in some special task in the church life. We glory in the cross. We glory. How many can say, I glory in the cross? I glory in the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom I am crucified unto the world, and the world unto me. God forbid that anything else should ever rob me of the purpose of my life. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a mighty God. Studying the life of Paul as I'm doing, you know, I'm finding that he was not a prophecy preacher. That was not his calling. Oh, he didn't say things like John the Revelator said, and he didn't even say things like Apostle Peter said, but he was the gospel preacher. He was the apostle to you and I, the Gentiles. Did you know that? He was an apostle to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. He was an apostle to those of us who was excluded from the Jewish realm. The only way we could become a Jew was to submit to the circumcision and the keeping of their law and become apostolate in Judaism. But Apostle Paul came to preach. It was not by the circumcision of the flesh or the crucifixion of self, by keeping the laws It was his grace. It was his mercy. It was his goodness that saved us and made us new creatures in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. God forbid that my mind should ever be turned in any other direction. I was talking with someone last night, called on the phone, and they were telling me how that one of their children, actually grandchildren, had just been called by a law school and offered $42,000 yearly scholarship for 4 years. To study law. And this person was so excited. And after they told me all about it, and I'm just listening, I didn't say anything. And they finally said, "Are you not excited with me?" And I said, "I'm excited when someone comes to Christ. I'm excited when someone lives for Jesus. I'm excited when their life becomes buried with the Savior in the cross life, in the crucified life, in the godly life." Now, that doesn't mean we aren't happy with children who succeed. Thank God for Dylan with his degree in his particular field. Thank God for every one of you. Thank God for every one of you. I've got grandchildren with good degrees and growing abilities in the world of education. But you know what I pray for, and you know what I long for, is to see men and women surrender to the cross. I long to see souls saved. I long to see lives that are, somebody ought to be raising your hand with me. Where are the rest of you? What is the hope for our children? What is the hope for our future? What is the hope for our world? It's going back to the cross. Oh, hallelujah. The cross of Calvary. At the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. I can tell you this morning that there's a joy running up and down the avenues of my soul. I can tell you there's a peace and satisfaction that rules my life every hour of every day. I can tell you that I'm a happy man with a happy, happy joy. Don't have a big bank account and don't care for one. Don't have a savings account, don't care for one. But I know him who is the everlasting Savior and the everlasting Lord. I know him who bled on the cross to make me know a new life. I know him who's got my future all wrapped up in a heavenly package. Hallelujah. I'm on my way to a heavenly city. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Well, I hope we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody help me praise him. Somebody help me praise him. We serve a God of triumph and victory. Our life is on its way to a place of which this world has no understanding. Brother Broadwell, they don't even know what we're shouting about. Hallelujah. Oh, myself. Hallelujah. Hey, church, listen to me. This world don't offer you nothing but a dead-end street. This world don't offer you nothing. Oh, it sounds wonderful. It sounds breathtaking when the world is telling you all they've got to offer, but they don't ever tell you the end of the road. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Hear me, saith the Lord. I gave my son for you. I sacrificed the jewel of my heart to be a sacrifice for you. He took your sins. He bore your place. He took upon him all the guilt that was yours and bore it into the very presence of his Father. And now hope is in him, saith the Lord. Raise your hand up and let's just love on the Lord, will you? Let's just love on that cross. Let's just love on that one who took our place. Let's just love on that one who made our life brand new. who found us in our guilt and our sin and brought us into His mercy and His joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is nothing to compare with what Calvary has done for you. There's nothing to compare the hope of that cross. Hallelujah. Its power is as great this very day as it was the moment He was dying on the tree. Hallelujah, 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 oh hallelujah, oh I said hallelujah, hallelujah. There is no love like the love of Calvary. There is no love like the Son of God. He looked at you when you were so dark in your sin and loved you in spite of your darkness. Do you understand that, church? Brother Danny Lawless, you are joy to me this morning. Hallelujah. It was Christ who found you and brought you home. Hallelujah. 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 Most of you know that He just come back to Christ this past Thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessedness. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. I hope in nothing but that cross this morning. I have no glory. I have no joy. I don't care what this world is offering. Don't offer me some kind of prize that the world gives. I don't want their prizes because the cost is too great. I don't mean money. I mean the cost of my soul. I love Him. I love Him. I love Him. I want you to stand there and pray for somebody that's lost. That's what I want you to do right now. You say, Brother Chambers, I need you to pray for me. We're ready to pray for you, and we'll do that in a moment. But I want you to pray for somebody that's lost. I want you to get a burden for lost souls. You know, I've been preaching this now for several weeks, that we've got to understand we are called to be soul winners. We're called to be soul winners. Mother, God's changed your life. God has changed your life. Hallelujah. These four boys, they're a picture this morning. I'm telling you, they are a picture. They are beautiful. Hallelujah. See, God changed his lives. And when God changed his lives, he will change their children. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, I get a couple of this. I count you healed, sister. Hallelujah. We serve a mighty God. And this cross of Calvary has lost no power. Not a moment of power. Did you know he took that blood he spilled on the cross the morning of his resurrection? He took that blood and took it to heaven and put it on the mercy seat in the heavenly temple. And did you know that blood is right there, right now? How many of you know the blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat in heaven right now? Hallelujah. On the mercy seat right now. Every ounce of that blood that flowed out of his veins, that divine, couldn't die, was divine. That blood couldn't corrode. It couldn't corrupt. It was divine blood. And he said to the woman who met him in the garden, he said, touch me not. I'm not yet ascended to my God and your God. Hallelujah. And he ascended with that blood and came back the same day and met with his disciples. Hallelujah. And that blood is still there this morning. That's why God forbid that I should glory saving that cross. God forbid that I should glory saving that cross. You're praying for somebody that's lost, are you? Anybody praying for somebody that's lost? Raise your hand and pray for somebody. Call their name. I pray for my children and my precious grandchildren that I love more than I love my own flesh. Yesterday evening as I prayed here in the sanctuary after I got a first vision of the cross, I prayed for my family, but I prayed for every one of yours, Brother Marvin. I prayed for every one of yours, Sister Doss Barrow. I prayed for every one of yours, Judy Lawless. I prayed for every one of yours, Sister Ginger. I prayed for every one of yours, Sister Dolores. I didn't leave nobody out. Yours, Brother Danny. Hallelujah. I prayed for them because as I got a new vision of that cross, and I said, God, never, never will I leave the glory of this cross, but I'm going to glory in it more and more and more. You're going to hear me talk about the cross more than you've ever heard me. Is that okay with everybody? Raise your hand if that's okay. Are you willing to glory in the cross with me? The cross, Brother Allen. The cross. Woo, hallelujah. I wish everybody in here was a shouting. Hallelujah. Now, is there a sinner, a lost person, who's not come to that saving blood? You've never been born again. And you would quickly slip out of your seat and come hurriedly to this altar and come to Christ this morning. Is there one? I personally do not know of one. But if there is one, it would be a joy to welcome you to the family of God. Isn't it wonderful when you welcome somebody into the family of God? Hallelujah. All right, I see no hand. But how many of you will commit yourself this morning to seek with all your understanding and all your heart to glory in the cross more than ever? If Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross. I can't glory in nothing else. I can't glory in nothing else. If you try to get me to, you'll find that my mind just won't grasp it. I don't want it. I just want to represent the cross. Would you meet me in the altar? Everybody in the building, come and stand. Come and stand. Right here at the altar. Visitor, forget about being a visitor. You're just part of us. Come. Come. And let's stand before him at the cross. And let's glory in the cross. Would you lift your hands up, brother, and lead me? Man, I'm depending on you to lead this prayer time. Oh, hallelujah. God receive it. Pray, brother, will you? Pray out loud. I believe in when praying with all your heart, like a thunderbolt. Adore Christ here. We come to glory in the cross. We come to glory in the cross. Father, if everybody in this building would glory in this cross, all week before us, we'd see the result next Sunday morning. They'd probably have a sinner in tow bringing somebody to the cross. Hallelujah. We must introduce men and women to the cross. We cannot glory in something if we don't introduce others to it, Lord. It is hypocritical to say that I love the cross if I don't care about the sinner who knows nothing of the cross. Raise your hand up and cry out to him and pray with all of your heart. Lord, I surrender to the cross. I surrender to the cross. I give myself to that crucified life. I don't want to live for me. I want to live for you, Jesus. Pray, saints. Pray. Oh, I love it when I hear you pray. I love it when I hear you pray. Ladies, pray. Brethren and ladies, pray. Hallelujah. I believe we should come to the altar with our heart just crying out to the King. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, bless every person here. Bless every person here. Hallelujah. 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 The day of Pentecost, 120, we're being filled with the Holy Ghost at one time. I would like for everybody here to be filled with the Holy Ghost this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, what a Savior. What a Redeemer. Hey, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. I glory in the cross. I glory in the cross. I glory in the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I glory in the cross. Hallelujah. Lord, we just humble ourselves at your presence this morning so hungrily. Father, I want to glory in the cross greater than ever in my life. I want to glory in the cross with greater degree of surrender. And I want men everywhere I go to see not chambers, but to see the reflection of a Christ who lives and dwells and controls, who's the Lord of all of my life. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How about reaching over and laying your hand on somebody beside you and pray for them, would you? Just lay your hand on somebody beside you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, Father. We pray for each other. I pray for every person standing here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Eyes and empty hands keep reaching out to me. I hear their cries for help down in my soul. The burden is so heavy, but I must keep pressing on till I see the lost sheep safe within. Oh, harvest field, oh, harvest field, you'll take me to my grave.